Former President Donald Trump is set to be sentenced next month, just days before the Republican National Convention. Despite that, the event in Milwaukee will go on as planned. It's Monday, June 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, some college athletes can now be paid directly by their universities, but the details on how that will work is still unclear. And construction workers at a middle school discovered a time capsule from 1961 in the building's cornerstone. Rob Menser has the details from Wausau. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at WPR.org/givewitoday.
The Republican National Convention in Milwaukee will go on as planned next month. Rich Kramer reports that's despite former President Donald Trump facing sentencing on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records just days before the event.
A New York jury found Trump guilty Thursday of falsifying records to conceal a $130,000 hush money payment during the 2016 presidential race. The former president and presumptive GOP nominee could potentially face up to 4 years in prison. Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming told WPR he's confident Trump will be at the convention July 15th. Marquette political science professor Pat Sobkowski says it's unprecedented, but he notes socialist Eugene Debs didn't let prison stop his political ambitions in 1920.
And so he ran sort of as what we would think of as a third party candidate today, and he famously ran his campaign for president out of a jail cell.
Trump has promised to appeal his conviction. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The NCAA and its Power Five conferences recently agreed to an antitrust settlement that would allow colleges to pay student-athletes directly, but it's still not clear how schools in those conferences, like UW-Madison, would implement the new framework. The settlement would provide $2.7 billion in damages to former college athletes. It also allows Division I schools to share more than $20 million in revenue with players. Matthew Mitten is the head of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University. He told WPR's Wisconsin Today there's still a lot of unknowns.
This could really lead to competitive balance issues, fairness issues. How are you going to comply with Title IX? There's just a whole lot of details that the settlement agreement doesn't address.
UW-Madison's athletics department declined to speak about the settlement. Marquette Athletics did not immediately respond to a request for comment. A project on French Island near La Crosse aims to define the movement of PFAS in groundwater. The study will also determine whether a deep aquifer could serve as the source of safe drinking water for residents with contaminated wells. The project involves drilling wells at depths ranging from 85 to 400 feet near the Campbell Town Hall on French Island. Researchers with the University of Wisconsin-Madison will study the direction that PFAS is moving in a shallow groundwater aquifer. They'll also monitor whether groundwater is flowing upward or downward into a deep water source. La Crosse County Board Supervisor Margaret Larson says French Island residents have been relying on bottled water for more than 3 years now.
The town is working hard to come up with a solution and to find the funding for it so that they can go back to using their tap water.
Researchers say they hope to release their findings sometime next summer. Construction workers at a Wausau middle school discovered a time capsule from 1961 in the building's cornerstone. The school is undergoing renovations right now. On Friday, they unveiled the capsule at a public event. Rob Menser reports on what was inside.
So we will plan on taking out the pieces of the time capsule and you can see.
John Muir, middle school principal Angela Rogers, led the event. The audience thought the contents of the 63-year-old time capsule might be school mementos or items of sentimental value. Instead, they were budget documents.
And then the taxpayer guide for the city of Wausau.
Rogers says she admits it was a little anticlimactic.
I think initially I was hoping for maybe like films and things like that, pictures.
Rogers says students are working on a new time capsule. It's going to include keepsakes from the school and things students love, like a Stanley water bottle, a pair of Crocs, and a picture of Taylor Swift. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, does it seem like every other week a presidential candidate or someone from their campaign is visiting Wisconsin? Jill Biden, the First Lady, was just here a couple of days ago. But did these events actually even lead to more votes? We'll be chatting with the professor from the University of Dayton who says they rarely do. That's up ahead. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
President Joe Biden, former President Donald Trump, and their surrogates are making lots of campaign visits to Wisconsin. Candidates are vying for votes from Wisconsinites, but how do voters respond at the polls? Joining us now is Christopher Devine. He's an associate professor at the University of Dayton and the author of I'm Here to Ask for Your Vote, How Presidential Campaign Visits Influence Voters. All right, so both Biden and Trump and a lot of their surrogates have been making campaign stops to Wisconsin. Do these visits really move the needle at all in terms of getting more people to turn out and vote for them?
I don't find much evidence that campaign visits really move votes. If you look at over the 2008 to 2020 timeframe, which of course includes the year famously when Hillary Clinton did not visit Wisconsin in 2016, you just don't see much evidence that county by county, the more times a candidate visits, the more they win in terms of vote share, nor do you usually see any change in turnout. There are a couple of exceptions. John McCain and Barack Obama, I find some evidence in 2008 that they actually gained some votes. We're talking less than a percentage point per visit, but that's something, especially in a close state, potentially like Wisconsin. But others like Donald Trump or, again, Hillary Clinton in other states in 2016, there's just no clear evidence that their visits really help. There is one exception I'll carve out here, and that is actually when they visit more competitive counties, so ones that are kind of split the last time around, neither candidate won by more than 10 percentage points. We do see some evidence that candidates, including Clinton and Trump both times, and even Biden in 2020, were more effective, that they actually apparently persuaded some voters in those counties. So overall, not much of an effect, but if they go to the right place, it could make a difference.
We mentioned 2016 a couple of times. That is very infamous here in the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, Hillary Clinton did not visit. Do we know why she did not visit and if that turned into a lack of enthusiasm from Wisconsin voters?
I should point out that Hillary Clinton in 2016, it's not just that she didn't visit, but she was the first candidate to not visit Wisconsin since 1972. And I think while her visits didn't generally help her out a lot, by the way, she did visit Pennsylvania quite a bit. So people who say that she lost the entire election because she didn't visit Wisconsin are really overstating the case. Even if she had won Wisconsin, she would have needed Michigan and Pennsylvania. She went to both, especially to Pennsylvania, and she didn't win there either. You know, I think what it said to voters in Wisconsin or another place that she didn't visit or visit much, it was sort of a signal that she wasn't taking them seriously enough. I think to people nationwide, what it also said, it confirmed for them a perception of Clinton's campaign, whether fair or not, that she was taking victory for granted, that she thought she had this thing sewn up and she didn't take Donald Trump very seriously. I think that was actually the really damaging message that people got.
There have been a lot of campaign visits from both President Biden and former President Donald Trump. So why are they here and do these campaigns really matter?
I think no candidate in the near future is going to make the mistake again of not visiting Wisconsin. But two, I think it is important to visit. It's not likely to move votes, but let's put it this way, and probably Clinton is a good example of this. When one candidate is visiting, when your opponent is visiting and you don't bother, that really opens up a line of attack. It opens up an opportunity for them to control, to some extent, the local information environment, to basically get out your message locally while the other side is just staying silent. So sometimes the effectiveness of these visits, it's not so much in the votes they gain, but canceling out perhaps whatever advantage the other candidate might have, not ceding that ground to them entirely.
back in the pandemic in 2020, when we think back to that election, it was very different. Democrats were largely virtually campaigning, and we thought this may be the future. Now it seems like we've gone back to in-person visits and Donald Trump's holding his rallies. So what does the future of campaign visits look like?
Yeah, there was some innovation in the 2020 campaign due to necessity, at least on the Democratic side. Republicans did it differently. But I have to point out, you know, Joe Biden, there's the tag on him that he was stuck in his basement, locked in his basement during the 2020 campaign. He was out of the basement by June. He was traveling less. But by the time we got to the fall, actually made quite a few campaign visits. He made more campaign visits in 2020 than Kamala Harris or Mike Pence, and not that many fewer than Donald Trump. So he was out there on the campaign trail. He was doing smaller events. And so it seemed less like what we typically perceive as a campaign event. So I think you're going to see that continuing. If Biden were not to do so, it would just bring back that attack on him. It would also reinforce perceptions, fair or not, that he's too old for the office. If he's not up to the job of normal campaigning, maybe he's not up to the job of being president. That's a perception that he would want to fight against in this campaign by showing up in Wisconsin and in other states.
Christopher Devine is an associate professor at the University of Dayton and the author of I'm Here to Ask for Your Vote: How Presidential Campaign Visits Influence Voters. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. A lot of interesting stuff in that conversation. Well, that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Krobe, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. You can always leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org. Let us know what you like, what you think we could be doing better, all that stuff. Just send us an email. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.